You're going to love this. Just love it.
Scared.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle with you right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. You might want to stop by our chat room at bradblog.com, sponsored by Scribble Live. Thank you guys for donating that for our use. You can also shoot us some questions on the Twitters. I am the Brad Blog over there, where I hope you're following. okay, former Democratic Governor of Alabama Don Siegelman is about to join us here. From 1999 to 2003, he was the governor out there. He's the only person in the state of Alabama to be elected to serve in all four of the top statewide elected offices: Secretary of State, Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, and Governor. And he's been serving in Alabama politics for some 26 years. Or at least he was, until two of Alabama's United States attorneys began a criminal investigation against him. One of those U.S. attorneys, Laura Canary, was actually the wife of Siegelman's gubernatorial opponent, Bob Riley. All of whom, by the way, were very close friends with Karl Rove. In 2006, Siegelman was convicted on bribery charges after a local hospital executive, Richard Scrushy, gave $500,000 to an advocacy campaign favored by Siegelman to establish a state lottery to help pay for free college education for Alabama's underprivileged children. In exchange, prosecutors contend, Scrushy was appointed to a state hospital board, but that board was one that Scrushy had previously served on under previous Republican governors as well. Though Don Siegelman did not benefit financially from the transaction, prosecutors in the Bush Justice Department and now in the Obama DOJ have argued that the transaction amounted to a quid pro quo. Exactly 113 former state attorneys general, both Republican and Democratic, appealed to the Supreme Court on Siegelman's behalf, arguing that his prosecution for something that nobody has ever been prosecuted for before, quote, will stifle the legal ability of campaigns to raise needed funds for fear of politically motivated prosecution of themselves and their donors, unquote. That's 113 former state attorneys general, both Republican and Democrats, who interceded on Siegelman's behalf. The Supreme Court declined to hear the case earlier this year, and Siegelman, who had already served 9 months some years earlier, was sentenced to 78 months in federal prison, 6.5 years, where he must report by, ironically enough, September 11th of this year, about a week and a half away. His daughter, Dana, has begun a petition campaign for a pardon from President Obama. Please sign it via donsiegelman.org. Arguing that, quote, a grave injustice has been done in this case that taints the very fabric of our democracy. And I got to say, I agree with his daughter, Dana. We've spoken with the governor before several times over the years. Honored for him to join us again. Governor, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Oh, Brad, thanks so much. I was listening attentively to your description, and it's on point. I want to bring your listeners back to 2002.
Yeah.
I was gearing up. I was running for re-election, had I won re-election, I was going to enter some of the southern primary, presidential primaries, mm-hmm. leading up to the 2004 election. I had been touted as a dark horse candidate for the Democratic nomination by conservative business journals such as the Kiplinger Letter. Karl Rove wanted me out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
We have sworn testimony before the House Judiciary Committee that Karl Rove targeted me through the Department of Justice. I was pursued by the wife of Karl Rove's best friend, mm-hmm. who had been vetted by Karl Rove as the U.S. attorney in Alabama. She was joined by Karl Rove's client, the state attorney general, in their quest to have me indicted. Actually, it was a smear campaign running into the 2002 election. And then when I won the election anyway, it was Karl Rove's partner and Tom DeLay and Jack Abramoff's employee who claimed credit for stealing the election and swinging the election to my opponent, whose campaign was being run by the U.S. attorney's husband, who was Karl Rove's best friend. People might, they're going to ask a couple of questions. They're going to say, why did Karl Rove care? Well, because I was a Southerner who was a Democrat, a liberal Democrat in a Southern Republican state, mm-hmm. who was winning elections despite the attacks of the Republicans. They couldn't stop me fair and square, so they targeted me with this prosecution. So said the Republican Attorney General from Arizona, who was John McCain's co-campaign national campaign chairman in 2008. We have people on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, as you pointed out, who mm-hmm. are saying that, you know, I was targeted. This is nothing but politics. So people will ask, well, how did he get convicted of bribery? Well, I was convicted of bribery because of the sworn testimony of one person who was a felon, whom the prosecutors went to and said, if you will tell us what we want to know so we can convict this guy, Sigelman, we will recommend no time in prison for you. The guy was facing 40 to 100 years in jail. They offered him a deal that couldn't refuse. He testified.
And he was the one, Governor, if I can just break in, he was the fella who was actually coached. We have evidence that he was coached by the prosecutors as to how to give his testimony, that there are notes written, as I understand it, by the prosecutor in this guy's notebook explaining to him the things that he should say during the trial, correct?
Exactly. As explained in an expose by 60 Minutes mm-hmm. on February 24, 2008.
There's a couple of points I want to ask you, because I've been following this case, as you know, for years. We've talked several times throughout the years, and I don't want to relitigate what happened, but listen, I'm an accountability guy. I want to see people held accountable when they've broken the law, and it seems to me pretty clear that you've been railroaded here now throughout this entire matter, and I hope to talk about that 2002 election, by the way, and what happened in the middle of the night on the deep old voting systems out there. But when you were sentenced just a couple of weeks ago, I guess, earlier in August, you said to the judge, and I'm going to quote some quotes here, quote, the hardest thing for me personally is knowing that I've let my family down. As a father, I have no greater wish than to have my children be proud of me. I do have deep regrets and remorse for my actions. I'd like to apologize to the people of Alabama for the embarrassment my actions have caused. If I had known I was coming close to the line where a campaign contribution becomes a bribe and a crime, I would have stopped. What do you mean? You have deep regrets and remorse for your actions. What do you regret if, in fact, you're being railroaded here? What do you regret having done in this case?
Well, there are lots of things that I regret. One, I hired this guy that ended up being a crook. And I, you know, nobody saw it. Nobody knew it. The guy had
that's the guy who testified against you. We're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He ended up taking, you know, $200,000 from various people, and nobody you know saw that. And he testified that, of course, I didn't know anything about it and didn't get a penny of it. But I do regret that I did not foresee these things coming, and I do regret the embarrassment that it has caused the state. But it wasn't because of anything that I did. I mean, I am facing a prosecutor who was anointed by Bush. I'm facing a judge who was anointed by Bush. I am now facing an 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is headed by someone who was Karl Rove's client. I mean, I am facing, you know, the prosecutor is Rove appointed, mm-hmm. or Bush anointed, Rove anointed, Bush appointed, the judge, Rove anointed, Bush appointed, and the 11th Circuit, the head of the 11th Circuit, where all of my appeals go. The presiding judge was Karl Rove's client.
Yeah, I know he was. I mean, that's what's amazing to me. But it's amazing to me. That's why I don't understand when the Supreme Court, you know, refuses to hear it, when, you know, all the courts seem to go against you. Do you contend to this day that what you did, do you believe that what you did was not a crime, that this transaction that took place was not a crime?
No, it was... I offered a CEO of a Fortune 500 company a place on a part-time non-paying board on which he had served through three previous governors. I was the fourth governor to appoint this guy to the same board. There was no agreement. He didn't even want to serve on the board. He asked me, "Governor, do I have to?" And I said, And, you know, he was tired of being on the board. He had just resigned from the board. I recruited him to be on the board. This man served 5 years in prison for something he did not do. And I am about to go to prison for something I did not do. But, you know, this whole thing is larger, is much larger than Don Sigelman. Even Don Sigelman spending time in prison for something that wasn't a crime. You know, it is about our freedom, our Constitution, our justice system. It's about Karl Rove and Karl Rove's ability to hijack the Department of Justice and use it as a political weapon. And, you know, Rove, when he was caught, you know, he fired Republicans who wouldn't do his bidding.
Sure.
And replaced them with other U.S. attorneys. You know, what happened to me was just the reverse of that. You know, the Republican Attorney General in Alabama, you know, did what he wanted them to do. They pursued me. They prosecuted me. They knocked me out of my reelection campaign in 2002 by stealing the election, as you mentioned, and then came back and prosecuted me, brought me to trial 1 month before my reelection in 2006 when I was going to be reelected to the office of governor in Alabama. So, this, you know, if they can do this to me, they can do it to anybody. And if Karl Rove gets back in power, you can bet your bottom dollar they're going to do it to other people. So it's not just about me. It's about our system of justice in America.
I got to take a break. Governor, hold on, please. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy Show, speaking with Governor Don Sigelman. Please stay tuned.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
I'm a man on fire, walking through your street with one guitar and two dancing feet. Only one desire that's left in me.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for a vacationing Mike tonight. I'm speaking with Former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman, who by September 11th, ironically, of this year, will have to report to federal prison for 78 months after his years-long railroad by Karl Rove and friends, after a transaction where this fella gave $500,000 to a charity that was... That the governor had advocated for, and he got nothing in return, and somehow this is now literally a federal crime. 113 former state's attorneys general have fought in favor of Governor Siegelman here, but it so far has been to no avail, and now he is hoping for a pardon from Barack Obama. President Barack Obama, you can help out in that effort by stopping at donsiegelman.org and filling out that petition. Okay, Governor, what do you think now in this post-Citizens United era when you see these guys giving literally millions and millions of dollars to super PACs that they know are there to benefit these presidential candidates in light of what happened to you?
Well, that's a great segue because, you know, the issue here, you know, it started out as a political dirty trick with involving Karl Rove's client, who was the attorney general, who's now the chief judge on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. It involved Karl Rove's partner and Tom DeLay and Jack Abramoff's employee who stole my election and kept me out of the 2004 presidential race. But the legal issue here, the legal issue is going to come back to haunt these people because the judge that convicted me did so on a standard that has never been used in this setting before. He allowed the jury to convict me of bribery on a implied theory that there was an implied, that there was an implied agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Before this case, there's always been, it's always been assumed that the Supreme Court, when they talked about an explicitly asserted agreement, that meant that to commit a crime, you had to agree to give somebody something in exchange for your campaign contribution.
So to put it in layman's terms here, the quid pro quo has to be, I will give you this money if you will do X for me.
If you'll appoint me,
right.
If you'll vote in favor of my legislation or whatever. Well, now under this new legal theory that was used to send me to prison, it only juries can infer that there was an agreement. So, you know, the Koch brothers and all these other folks who are pumping this money in, if they get anything in return, they can be, I mean, if there is a prosecutor out there,
yeah,
who wants to charge them or charge the president if he appoints them to something, or if there's a congressman who votes in favor of their legislation, even though there is no testimony or no evidence of any kind of quid pro quo, what we understood to be a quid pro quo before this case, they can still convict them on the inference or that there was, you know, that there was evidence of an implied quid pro quo. So that's why we have these.
So to be clear, Governor, so there was no evidence that said you had made any kind of promise to this guy, to Richard Scrushy, in exchange for supporting the charity.
No evidence of that whatsoever.
You're going away for 6.5 years, and meanwhile, Sheldon Adelson or the Koch brothers, they can literally brag about giving millions and millions, to Mitt Romney. Hundreds of millions. Use our private planes if you want, whatever. That's all just fine. But what you did, it's amazing.
Keep in mind, Brad, and I want your listeners to keep in mind, what was my motive? My motive was to send disadvantaged kids to college for free, for goodness sake.
Well, shame on you.
It wasn't a self-enrichment scheme, as is the case in most bribery convictions.
Governor, I know I can you hang on for a few minutes and we'll do another segment after the top of the hour. You don't mind? Okay, I appreciate that. Governor Don Siegelman, hang on the line there and sign that petition asking the president to do the right thing and pardon this man at donsiegelman.org. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show with Don Siegelman. Man, stay tuned. We're going to hold him over for just one more segment, and then your calls, 877-520-1150, and some green news. Hang in there. Truth Seekers, this is your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow here for one more hour with you. We'll be getting to some of your calls. I know some of you have been hanging on for a while. Keep hanging in there. Our phone number is 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Stop by our chat room at bradblog.com. It was sponsored by Scribble Live. Thank you very much, guys. You can also tweet me at the Brad Blog, and you can find us on the Facebook, also at the Brad Blog. You can also find my guest, Don Siegelman, and a link to a petition to President Obama for a pardon over at Facebook at, I think you search for Free Don Siegelman. Thanks to one of the chatters in the chat room for that information. Otherwise, you can go to donsiegelman.org. Okay, I asked the governor to hang on here with me for just another minute or two because I had a few questions I wanted to get through. But to reset, former Democratic Governor Don Siegelman served from 99 to 2003 until he was essentially railroaded. And I can see no other way to put that, by Karl Rove and the U.S. Department of Justice for something that has never been a crime before in the history of this country. And by September 11th of this year, unless something happens, I know he's appealed his sentencing, unless something happens, he's going back to federal prison for 6.5 years, and he'll be leaving his wife and his daughter for 6.5 years for something that has never been a crime in the history of this country. But I had a few more questions I wanted to run through very quickly here with the governor. Are you still there, Governor?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm ready.
All right, good.
I've got some things for your listeners, too, but go ahead. You first.
I bet you do. Okay. All right. Well, let's fly through these then very quickly. How was your case different? This is something that really, really, I got to say, ticks me off. How was what happened here in your case different from what happened to the powerful Republican senator from Alaska, Ted Stevens, who he has since died, but he was charged with taking millions in bribes before seeing his case dropped by the Obama Department of Justice when they came to power. What happened there that his case was dropped and your case moved forward? Do you understand the difference that what happened here? Can you help me understand this, Governor?
Well, I think that the Republican power brokers, worked their will with the powers that be.
So he was let off the hook because he was a Republican?
Well, I think in part, but also because there was prosecutorial misconduct in his case. My problem with the Ted Stevens case is not that his case was dismissed and the charges vacated, but the prosecutorial misconduct in my case makes everything else pale in comparison.
I agree. That's why I don't.
We've got Republican lawyers and a Republican Department of Justice employee, a whistleblower, who came forward and testified about how they coached the witness and how mm-hmm. you know, this was all a setup by Karl Rove. I want to get in a couple of things real quickly before I know you've got to go. You've got other things to talk about.
Okay, go ahead. I had a couple more questions, but go ahead. Get in what you like to, please.
Well, I wanted to address your listeners. I know that most people don't want to believe that in this country that we would torture people to get information. They don't want to believe that we would authorize illegal wiretaps. They don't want to believe that we would be led into war under false pretenses. They don't want to believe that elections in this country are stolen or that their Department of Justice could be used as a weapon to win elections. Yeah, I want to talk about two people involved in my campaign, my reelection campaign that was stolen. One was Karl Rove's client, who was rewarded by being appointed to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and there he sits today as the Chief Justice of the 11th Circuit.
Overseeing your case, correct?
Overseeing my case.
Right.
This is the guy, as Karl Rove's client, and I'll have to say this, the guy is basically intellectually honest, but when it came down to the crunch, when Rove said, stop this recount, I had won my election. They had stolen it. I wanted a recount in one little tiny precinct in this Republican county. And it was Karl Rove's client who stood in the way and participated in the stealing of my election.
Explain what happened, Governor, the night of that election when, as I understand it, as you've told me in the past, you went to bed thinking you won the election.
I had won the election. The votes were counted. It was done. The poll watchers, the party officials, the media had been sent home. I was declared the winner of the 2002 gubernatorial election in Alabama by CBS, NBC, everybody said the election's over, Sigelman won. Then after midnight, the lights go out in the courthouse in the South Alabama county, and in the sheriff's office, there is a quote recount. Nobody's there to watch the recount. They just shift 5,000 votes of mine to my opponent, the Karl Rove supported candidate. And oddly enough, while it affects my race, it doesn't impact any down ballot race by one single vote. So they take 5,000 votes from the governor's race and move it to from the Democratic column to the Republican column, but it doesn't impact any down ballot race.
And this was done
impossible.
This was done electronically, correct?
Yes,
it was the tabulators. Now, were these touchscreen machines down there or paper ballot systems there?
It was a paper ballot.
Paper ballot system, but it was an electronic tabulator where the numbers changed and shifted.
And there have been study after study by universities, professors, mm-hmm. and they have concluded that there is no explanation other than the votes were stolen. But the guys that was given credit, I mean, the one who stopped the recount was Karl Rove's client, who was then appointed to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. The people given credit were Karl Rove's partner and this guy that went to work for Tom DeLay and Jack Abramoff.
And they would not let you count those paper ballots? The numbers shifted on the tabulator, but they would not let you count the actual ballots to see what they the paper ballots.
That's all we asked for. And what was so odd was that the local officials, even though they were Republicans, the local officials invited me in to count the ballots. But Karl Rove's client stepped in and said, anybody that touches those ballots is going to jail. Now, I want to shift quickly to the judge who tried my case. He was vetted by Karl Rove, appointed by George Bush, as an interim appointee. He had a little sideline business called DOS Aviation. DOS Aviation was a company that was being funneled Defense Department contracts through his godfather, who was the congressman from the district, and also from other state official, Republican officials, U.S. senators. But my point here is that here is this guy who's a federal judge, And he has his sideline business of refueling planes, training pilots, and providing uniforms for the FBI as well as for U.S. Air Force pilots. In the course of my trial, he is notified that he is up for a $200 million a year contract. And at the conclusion of my trial, he is granted that $200 million a year renewable Defense Department contract. The whole thing stinks to high heaven. And I know I am not one of the conspiracy theorists. You know, I'm not generally one of those guys who comes up with these, you know, weird things that don't seem to make sense unless you start connecting the dots and then it appears to be something.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that this is a matter of fact, that during the trial he was told he was up for this contract. At the conclusion of the trial, he was given the contract by the United States government.
Governor, I think after what you've gone through here, you don't have to apologize for being a conspiracy theorist. There was clearly a conspiracy going on. It's not a theory. When your votes disappear in the middle of the night, only in your race, and they will not let you count the votes, that's obviously something is going on here. What they have gone through for the years and years after that, to take you down as, you know, God forbid there should be a powerful, likable, well-respected Democrat in the state of Alabama. It doesn't go along, with the solid South theory of Karl Rove and friends. And it just, you're right, it stinks to high heaven. Listen, I got to get to a break. I know you've been given permission to go to the Democratic National Convention next week to make your case there. Do you think there's a chance that the folks at the DNC and that President Obama will at some point see what has happened here and give you the pardon that you clearly deserve, in my opinion?
Well, I one can only hope. This is bigger than me, and that's the point I want to make with your listeners. This is not, yes, I want to be free. I don't want to go to jail for something I didn't do. I don't want to lose more time in my life fighting over something like this, but this is bigger than me. It is bigger than my freedom. It is about your freedom, this country's freedom. It's about restoring justice and preserving our democracy, and that's why, you know, yes, I encourage people to go online and sign this petition, donsigelman.org, Free Don. But this is something, this is a message that has to be taken to the president and has to be taken to the American people. We cannot tolerate this kind of behavior in this country if our democracy and our freedoms are going to be sustained.
Governor, I hear you, and I think it's interesting that you said in the previous break, if it could happen to me, it could happen to anyone. That is something that we heard one of the delegates at the Republican National Convention saying in the first hour. After this uprising by the Ron Paul folks out there, when the Republican Party just shut them out and they were complaining about what the Republicans were doing to Republicans. And one of the delegates said, if it could happen to us, it could happen to anyone. We're hearing that a lot. We're hearing that too much. I thank you, frankly, for your service to your country and to your state. I wish you the best of luck next week at the DNC, the best of luck, with a pardon from the president. And good luck if you do end up going away here in a week or so. My best luck to you and your family, sir.
Well, I am going away, but I will be speaking as loudly as I can about this. Not again, not just because of me, but because of my love for this country and for our freedoms that we need to protect.
Thank you
so much, Brad.
Thank you, Governor. Governor Don Siegelman. You can check out that petition for his pardon from President Obama, the appeal for pardon from President Obama, at donsiegelman.org. All right. We ran a little long there, so we're going to have to come back. It's going to have to be a short segment, and then we will try to get to your calls, 877-520-1150. Hopefully we'll have some time for Desi Doyen and some green news. brother. And guess what else happened this week? No charges in the CIA detainee death investigations. Go figure. Cheer up, America. This is your Mike Malloy Show. Can't get much worse, can it? You're listening to Brad. Stay tuned.
And it's a long, hard road.